welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Miss Jamie Lee of TripleCrownConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host. This week, we have Conjure Man Ali, and we have Deacon Millett of FourAltars.org filling in for our very own Miss Cat. And he's joining us from Joshua Tree, California. And together, y'all, we will be joined by a very special guest member from the Association of Independent Breeders and Root Workers, Professor Porterfield, ProfessorPorterfield.com in Jensen, Texas. And together, y'all, they will take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices, using hoodoo, conjure, or root work as defined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. And you can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, well, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. And we'll be going to the phones in just a moment. But first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Conjure Man Ali and Deacon Millett. Conjure Man Ali.
Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee, for that lovely introduction. Miss Cat is not going to be joining us today. She is not feeling well, so we hope she has a speedy recovery and she joins us again next week. Until then, we have the wonderful Deacon Millett, who has bravely stepped in to fill her shoes, and we always love having him on the show. Before we check in with Deacon Millett, just a little bit of news. I've just come back for a short trip where I've been away. I have been attempting to flee the hot weather that has seemed to encompass all of Southern California, but wherever I went, I traveled to the East Coast. It was even more hot, and it was quite muggy. So I'm back home now, and I have turned off all the lights, and nice and dark in my little cave with the AC on full blast as I try to escape the last vestiges of summer, as it seems to be holding on desperately. In September, you know, when we should be headed towards fall. I have been keeping quite busy. I have a lot of work that I need to catch up on, and emails that need to go out, and writing projects that need to be finished as I come to the end of my summer and get back to what I do daily, which is academic work. Shiva in the chat said, retreat and cave dwelling. Very accurate.
Run,
that's what
run.
I do, especially when it's hot. I'm notorious for retreating and disappearing and not coming out when days on end. But you know, luckily I have lots of work to do at home anyway, so I'll be keeping busy. So that's news on my end. Let's check in with wonderful Deacon. Welcome and thank you for joining us. We always love having you on the show. You're one of our favorite. What has been going on in your world?
Well, happy to be here. I wish it were under happier circumstances, but I'm praying this cat feels better soon. I'm definitely experiencing the same story of woe as you are, Cousin Ali. I'm also in Southern California, and it is hellish. I actually had the motor go out on my swamp cooler, so I spent 3 days with just fans in the high 90s out here. So it's been pretty rough.
Oh, wow.
Thankfully, the swamp cooler in the chapel stayed going. So that's good, because those candles don't do well when it's 100 degrees and there's no AC. So,
no.
But very much looking forward to fall. This has been not a summer I was planning to go through, and it's just been it's reached the level of tedious, you know.
Oh wow. Well, with you. I'm a fall person myself, so it cannot come fall and winter in my season, so it cannot come soon enough. The heat's got to go, and this 90-degree, 100-degree weather got to stop. But I often complain about it, but then I'm reminded that people around the country often have far worse weather than we do.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I mean, we've only had a couple of weeks of it, but then again, you're on the desert, so I can only imagine.
Well, and I try to hide during the days and get a lot of work done after the sun goes down, so that that definitely helps. And last night's eclipse, you know, trying to kind of surf that energy for my clients and make mm-hmm. the most use of it I could. So looking forward to some changes this month after last month's kind of difficulties astrologically for everyone.
Yeah, people still recovering from all the astrological weather, huh?
Absolutely.
I don't doubt it. It was quite bumpy, and I think you could see it in the type of clients that came in during the month.
Mm-hmm.
It was longer than a month, too. How long did it go on for? Venus and retrograde was it?
I'd say it was a good 6 weeks.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, so very happy to see some of that finishing up. You know, the problem is that sometimes you have to move on. And this month is a very good time for moving on. But that's not always what our hearts want to do. It really is time for some new chapters for people, and we need to do our best to embrace that as much as we can.
No, it's been tough, and the clients that have been coming in have definitely reflected that. Whether it's people suddenly having a desire to reconcile with people that have been long gone, or you know, and need to move on, or people who have just broken up. You know, Venus in retrograde does that. It kind of has all those effects. I often tell people, you know, former lovers suddenly appear during Venus in retrograde too, and then you have to contend with, you know, this ghost of the past and learning to let go all over again. So it's definitely been an interesting period. But here's the hoping for a better month as September goes on.
Absolutely. And having the eclipses here to sort of help clear the air will be very nice. We could we could just get a few beautiful thunderstorms as well, we'd be in good shape.
Yeah, a little bit of thunderstorms and some rain, and I think we'd be good to go.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's check in with Professor Porterfield, another regular on the show and a fan favorite, if I could use that phrase. Welcome, Professor Porterfield. Always a pleasure to have you.
Well, thank you so much. Hello to you both, my good friends. It's always a joy to be here, and so nice to hear you both. In particular, Deacon Millett, hi, how are you? I haven't talked in a while. And you know, each and every week, you know, I think people tune in and they're like, oh, the great hoodooists of our time, they'll be discussing, you know, I can trap spirits in stocks. It'll be wonderful. And instead, no, it's a bunch of old folks sitting around talking about the damn weather. And
didn't we mention this before, the banality of the conversation of real practitioners, right?
Absolutely. And in that wonderful, you know, way that weather can be so maddening, I have to tell you that Texas is paradise right now. It's 89 degrees outside. It'll be 69 degrees tonight. We have an entire week ahead of us that it's barely going to creep to 90 if it even gets there. Indian summer is in bloom here. And, of course, in that strange way that Texas does, it's like a second spring. So we have our second blooming going on. Wildflowers are starting to come back. And we've all decided, kind of crept to the doors and gone, oh, outside. I remember outside. Damn, I can't cook cookies in the car anymore. Oh, well, that'll have to be something I don't have for my lunch break.
Well, if anyone deserves a break from that, the oppressive heat of Texas with you guys. Because I mean, the heat down there is ridiculous. I don't even want to bother.
Well, we somehow struggle through each and every year, but I've been doing very well. Yesterday, I had the extreme honor of being asked to go and teach in Richardson, Texas, at the Improv Intuitive Arts Oracle Club, and I went down there and gave a wonderful talk about reading cards and just had a grand old time there, and looking forward to talking about our topic today.
Wonderful. And that topic, which Nagashiva wonderfully segues, is, yes, can you douse for cold weather? And that is the topic that we have today. It's dowsing and working with water bunging. There's all sorts of words, but water bunging, water doodling, all these different terms for it. And dowsing. Now, there's a couple, before we dive in, let's just clarify some of this. Dowsing, as people refer to it, can refer to a variety of different practices, and Professor Porterfield, feel free to jump in and correct me at any time, but it can involve several different types of tools involving the pendulum as well as other tools which are specifically designed for dowsing itself, like a divining rod. Is a very popular tool. In the South, this forms part of Voodoo because this is Southern tradition, not always directly related to the tradition of Voodoo. Some of the dowsers and diviners that I know from down South actually knew nothing about Voodoo, but they were good at what they did, and they're often hired to do one of two things, really, though there's a variety of different ways you could do it. One was finding water, and the other was finding oil. Finding oil was very popular in certain parts in the South, and there were people who were born with a certain ability to find oil, and some of it involved actually anointing the divining rods with oil, sticking your finger in oil, and then trying to find it. It's a very old-timey tradition, and as well as used to find water. In my own traditions, working. I've worked with dowsing before, predominantly to find oil, not to find water, and lost objects. Those are the two that I use it quite frequently for. Professor Porterfield, this is your topic, so I'd like to go to you first. Now, it's a little in fact that you're actually known for doing this type of divining work in more modern times, because I remember when you were in air the first time around. Before you took a short hiatus. While now you're very popular as a bibliomancer, you've always been, I remember reading your profile many, many years ago, and water dowsing, or dowsing, was quite prominent, if I remember correctly.
Yes, that is correct. I have been involved with dowsing for quite a while, even back into childhood when I knew a few dowsers. And this is, and you're quite correct about what you said earlier, this is a component that we see in Hoodoo, and as we know, Hoodoo is such a rich tradition that has gathered in these admixtures from other places. It isn't a solely African retention practice, and this is a perfect example. Dowsing comes into Hoodoo out of Europe, and dowsing first really starts to flower in the Renaissance in Germany, and then becomes very popular in England, particularly in Essex and Suffolk and other places of that particular region in Great Britain. However, there is an even older tradition of dowsing in the Middle East amongst the Arabic and Judaic cultures. And hopefully we'll touch on all of that. But you're quite right. There are a number of different tools used in dowsing. And part of that relates to the fact that dowsing can be broken into two nice little segments. And the first one is remote dowsing. This is where we're dowsing from something that we're not there. So you're dowsing over a map, or you're dowsing over a picture of an area, etc. And this is primarily, more than not, when you see people using a pendulum in dowsing. And then there's immediate dowsing, on-location dowsing, and that's where you're actually doing the dowsing where you're at. You're all walking the field, you're in the person's house, you're on the property, you're going down the streets, or wherever it is that you need to locate what you need to locate. And to briefly talk about oil, petroleum products, and natural gas, this is what in the South, and in particular in Texas, is called doodlebugging.
Yes.
And so whenever we talk about this topic, people go, doodlebugging? What? They're pill bugs. I used to play with them when they were when I was a kid. And it's like, yes, that is one doodlebug, but the other doodlebugging is where you're specifically dowsing for petroleum-based products, oil, more often than not, or gas wells. Now, what's interesting about that, and so I want to clear this up quickly before any confusion arises, today in our ads, our promos that went up, Nagashiva put up this fantastic statue, and it's one of the pictures for the promos today, and it's probably a bronze or a brass statue of a gentleman, a worker, and as our own Troll Talhead described him, he looks like he's a lineman for the county. He's got all these pipes or ropes over one shoulder. Mm-hmm. He is doing doodlebugging, except he is doing the seismic science of doodlebugging. Doodlebugging is also a term used in the oil industry about the attempt to find oil or gas, natural gas reserves. And it is not a magical practice at all. It actually involves the deep planting of explosive charges to create seismic and sonic waves that are then read with equipment in locations. So you can go, aha, I can see it through the ground with my equipment because these seismic waves have moved through the area. But it is also called doodlebugging. And it is called doodlebugging from the older practice, obviously, of when you're out there using the a magical tool. And the most often what you see in terms of a magical tool is you will either see a Y-shaped rod. And this Y-shaped rod is normally, it's called a dowsing rod or a divining rod. And it is most often taken from a tree. So you will see a number of different trees that are favored. In Europe, hazel is the most favored wood for this. So it's a hazel twig. It's a hazel Y. In the Americas, here in the United States, witch hazel is much more preferred. Although you will also see some people advise willow or even peach be used for this.
Oh, interesting.
And most often or not, people will tell you that you need to use a fresh twig. In other words, green wood. So you actually will cut. You will go and find on the tree a branching that has a Y shape. So you're going to want two equal ends. These are going to be your handholds, and then a straighter portion that comes out from them. This is going to be the actual part that douses, that twitches or moves over the source. And the reason they advise using green wood is because wet wood knows, or wet wood remembers, or wet wood recognizes or witnesses water. And so this is where we're specifically talking about water dowsing, also known as water witching. So you will cut this, and then holding the two equal branches in your hand, you will begin to walk across in a grid pattern on a piece of land looking for the water. And when you arrive at it, depending on the system you are using, the end of your divining rod will either bend down or will give you a counterintuitive reading and bend up or away, suggesting that you're not near exactly it, but you need to change where you're on the grid and move to another position. Now, then we also see what are known as L rods. and the L rods are almost always made of metal. And
yes,
this is just two rods built, they're just bent into the shape of an L. You hold the bottom of the L, as it were, if you were looking at it written out on a page, in your hand, one in each hand. And interestingly enough, the most advised metal for that is copper. And I think our own Deacon Millett and Countryman Ali might be able to tell you all some interesting things about copper's astrological, ordinance and how it relates to certain things. But people will even bend out a coat hanger and take a pair of wire snips and clip it and make them out of that. So you do see a lot of different metals. Interestingly enough, I have never heard of anyone advising the use of iron and have actually been told not to use iron to attempt to make an L rod out of. And as you walk your grid, again, on a piece of land or even in your own home, where are my keys? You will hold those two L rods in either hand. And when those two rods cross, meaning the outer links move towards each other so that they cross over each other, making an X, you're above what you're looking for. And then also you can follow them, meaning let's say you're walking a grid, you have your two L rods, one in your left hand, one in your right hand, and the right hand rod starts to slowly move off further and further and further to the right. And then eventually the left hand rod starts to slowly slip to the right as well. That's indicating to you that you need to move to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And you continue to do this until you come back into straight alignment. They're both facing forward. And then you continue to move again until they cross over each other. And again, that means, you're on top of it. Now, dowsing's been used to find all sorts of things. We just talked a little bit here about petroleum, oil, gas pockets, water. But dowsing has been used.
Hidden treasure, too.
That's right, treasure. Particularly during the Renaissance, we see lots of stories of, they're searching for gold. Mm-hmm. But in the modern age, we have dowsers being employed sometimes by civil authorities, police, etc., to find bodies through the art of dowsing. And there are actually a number of, quote, corpse dowsers. Their particular fame comes from their ability to find buried bodies, lost people, etc.
These L-shaped rods, too, they can be quite simple. As you've mentioned, the coat hangers are a prime example of that. But they can also get quite elaborate. I often remark that they look a little bit like wonky pistols because of the way you hold them, right? So you hold them in two hands, and then like a pistol that's pointed forward. But the ends of them can sometimes have little balls or intricate designs that are woven together that then cross, or they can just be straight. It really depends. I've seen mostly straight, but some people go and spend a bit of money and buy the more expensive ones.
Oh, that is absolutely correct, Ali. We when you start going out and looking for particularly L rods for sale in the public sector, you find these ones, they look like ray guns. They look like somebody had a bender at Hogwarts. They've got curly cues. They've got spirals. They've got plastic grip handles that the rod sits in. They've got plastic sheath type tube handles that, again, the rod sits in. And there's a reason for that. And the reason that we see these elaborate handles that the rod sits in is because many people have been quite dismissive about dowsing because they believe it is, and here's your word for the week, gang, idiomotor effect. They believe that dowsing is just the idiomotor effect, that basically you're manipulating the rod, whether it be the traditional Y dowsing rod or the L rods. No, it's the idiomatic effect, and we're going to do all these blind studies to show it's the idiomatic effect. And so the attempt by certain people to add these highly stylized handles that keep you from actually touching the rod is to eliminate the possibility of that idiomotor effect.
Mm-hmm. Lots of people say the same thing about the pendulum as well. Deacon Millett, I wanted to ask you, because you're out in the desert, do you use this type of work a lot in what you offer for clients? And do you find yourself using it in the area that you're in?
I absolutely do not do dowsing. And I'm captivated by the people that do. So I'm loving to learn so much more about this topic. Certainly out here where, you know, people are on well water where I am, dowsing has been used for a century. It was not, I don't believe, used by the Native Americans prior to the settlement of this area, but getting well water was, you know, life itself up here in the high desert.
Very true. And I haven't used it to find water very often myself. Oil and hidden treasures and lost items. I've done remote and I've done in person. One of my bigger cases that I had personally was a few years back, and a certain unnamed company, for legal reasons, approached me, and it's one of the bigger companies that deals in weapons-grade material, we'll say. And they had famously, so anyone who can use Google will be able to find out what was going on. A few years back, they lost some of that material. In Professor Porterfield's neck of the woods, in that state. And so they approached me, and through a combination of geomancy and remote dowsing, and those two actually do go together. There's an old Middle Eastern tradition of them being related together. It's both are tied to the earth. Geomancy used to be done really much on the ground in the sand.
Wow.
And through the combination of both, I located the object for them. And it was good because it was dangerous material and people could get harmed from it. I normally wouldn't work for the company, but though, you know, in this case, I made an exception given what was at stake. And it was dowsing that helped me do it. It was remote dowsing. I used a map first, doing a little bit of location work with the geomancy and doing confirmation, and then using the dowsing to locate it. So you can do it from a distance as well, not just, you know, going out in person, though I've done that as well. I'd be far more reluctant nowadays, though, to take on the oil cases simply because of the environment and the damage it's done.
Absolutely.
So even though I've been able to in the past, quite successfully, and it's a very lucrative field of work to get into,
downstream
oil. There's a lot of companies, they don't give a damn if magic is real or dowsing is real or hoodoo is real. They're just looking for results, and so
they operate under the law of pragmatism.
Yeah, very much. Some of my best astrology clients are the same way. It's their stockbrokers. They don't give a damn if it's real or not. They just want results.
They just
want
to know what's going to go up and what's going to go down.
It is a
and that, yet you brought up a very interesting thing here, because as a matter of history, our listeners today might be interested to know that at various times, as late as, at least I can confirm, as late as the Vietnam-era conflict, various components of the United States military have employed dowsing.
Yes.
They did not employ exterior dowsers. They employed soldiers who they either trained to douse or had come from certain parts of the U.S. and certain family backgrounds that they had some sort of dowsing gift in their family to find landmines. So dowsing has even been used, and again, we're talking as late as, you know, the Vietnam conflict. So we're not talking about, oh, you know, World War One. These people thought they could find. No. This has gone on. I have no confirmation that it may have been used in, you know, Iraq or Afghanistan, but I wouldn't be surprised to hear that.
It was, but I didn't hear about mine cases. I heard mostly water cases
and
other issues, like finding certain things. But it was very minor. I think, you know, it's dying out. It's unlikely. The cases that I heard from the Iraq and Afghanistan were locals. They weren't actually soldiers.
Right.
So there were locals that were doubled as guides and what. So I think it is, unfortunately, a practice that may be dying out in the military. But it is fascinating to see that there is a certain pragmatism. And I think of all the divination practices that are out there. There's certain that are very amenable to the wider populace, and probably because they themselves can sometimes be distanced from spiritual practice or magical practice. Dowsers and dowsing, for example, is often used. You know, there's all sorts of explanations for it. It's the unconscious mind. It's all sorts of things. And some dowsers have no interest in magic or spiritual work at all. They just douse. It's what they do. It's a family tradition. And astrology is another one that's like that. It doesn't always, especially in the modern era, moved away from its magical roots. And so some astrologers have no interest in, for example, magic or sorcery. And dowsing is another one of those cases. Now, I wanted to ask you both if you guys had heard this particular tradition. I had heard that the skill of dowsing is often manifested in people with webbed toes. And that if you had webbed toes, that you were webbed feet, that you were born with the gift to douse. This was something I heard quite a bit during my travels around the United States. Some people in the regions of like Kentucky and Alabama and whatnot would say, webbed feet, you can douse.
Yes, and I can confirm that I've heard that as well, and that relates specifically to water witching, to water dowsing, because
right.
And one you may not have heard, that I have heard, also includes older people who might have water on the knee. And so there's this concept, which is, oh, you've got something that relates to water, webbed feet, like a duck, okay, that's swimming in the water, water on the knee, and it always seems to manifest here, below the waist, meaning you're joined to the earth with this connection to water, and therefore you can find water. But before we go too much further, because I really want to talk about this before we run out of time, I want to bring up map dowsing or remote dowsing.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, I want to talk about dowsing with a pendulum. Now, nowadays we have a lot of pendulum use. You can go into almost any kind of magical-based store and find a pendulum. And some of these are absolutely beautiful. They have crystals, they have little geometric-shaped bits of metal, etc. And there is an entire school of pendulum reading and dowsing that goes with that, but that's really not where I come from. As Conjure Man Ali has pointed out before on the show, I'm kind of a old-timey kind of guy. And the pendulum dowsing that I was introduced to and that the people I knew taught involved either a plumber's bob or an architect or a builder's bob.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a standard tool. You can go to your hardware store, folks. So if you're like, oh, I would love to have a pendulum, but they cost so much, they cost $1,000, whatever. No. Go down to Home Depot. Go down to Lowell's and buy yourself just a builder's bob, a plumb bob. And the interesting thing about the plumb bob is that most plumb bobs have a cap. And if you unscrew that cap, it's the cap that you thread the line through. And if you unscrew that cap, you will find that inside your bob is a hollow space.
Mm.
Now, this comes from much older types of metal bobs that originally had oil added to them to aid in balancing them. So in the old days when we lacked perfection of manufacturing that we now have, some bobs would be just a touch off, a bubble off plumb, okay? And so to bring them back onto plumb, you would add a viscous liquid, oil, to it. So, and this would be motor oil. This would be similar to the oil you use for a hinge or for your sewing machine, that kind of weight oil. And you would add drops of oil into it while you strung the bob up until you watched the bob slowly return to plumb. And then you'd say, now it's balanced, now I can use it. Now, what's interesting about that in terms of our discussion today is the old-time workers would, instead of adding oil, and I do this to this day, they would add a witness in that place. So in other words, if you're going to use this pendulum, this plumb bob, to go out onto a field or even on a map to find gold, you unscrew your bob, and into the hollow inside your plumb, you add a little bit of gold, either a little tiny gold nugget or a little gold dust. And then now, that's its witness. And this relates back very closely to what we see in mojo bags and what we see in our own practice of using personal concerns and witnesses to adjust the tool to the person or to the object that we are, or to the event, love, etc., that we're trying to draw. And here we have the exact same thing, and I find that fascinating. You can unscrew your bob and add a little bit of silver, add a little bit of whatever. And interestingly enough, that we talked about corpse dowsers earlier, they will do this and they will use fragments of human bone.
Very interesting. That is very interesting. For dive type engine, we'll only use a string with a ring attached to it for dom. There's one ring I use for divination practice, and I use that quite frequently. Deacon Miller, do you use the pendulum at all? No. I know that you say that dowsing isn't something that you work with, but you do work with the pendulum, right?
I have worked with the pendulum. I find that for most of the things I do, it's fallen out of use just because so much of what I do when I've got yes-no questions, I wind up using the I Ching as my preferred methodology. You know, the thing about pendulums is that they're so beautiful. It's the same as with, you know, having 40 tarot decks, even though there's only one that I always use. You just feel compelled to have more, and pendulums are the same way.
That's very, very true, especially as they become more elaborate, they're gemstones and whatnot. I've got to say that when it comes to finding lost objects, though, the pendulum really kind of takes the cake. It kind of is in a league all its own. And we've mentioned this on the show before, how different divination systems lend themselves to certain things quite well. For example, astrology is fantastic for doing long-term. Right? You can see a person's whole life with astrology. But when it comes to lost objects, I've got to say the pendulum and dowsing definitely takes the cake. We have run out of time, unfortunately. It has been a fantastic discussion. Really, you know, going back to some of the more lesser-known aspects of hoodoo, but have been so central to the tradition itself, which I've come to expect from you, Professor Porterfield, and the discussions that you propose. So thank you for that. Thank you, Deacon.
Thank you so much
for your contributions. It's a really fantastic discussion. Hopefully we'll have more about it in the future. We are going to have Miss Tammy Lee lead us into our first reading, and I believe Deacon Millett will be up to do the first divination. So Miss Tammy Lee, go ahead and take it away.
Yes, sir, Conjurman Ali, and y'all, the lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Worker, with your host, Conjurman Ali, Deacon Millett, and Professor Porterfield. This week's special guest from AIR will be right back, and we'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. And you can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. And if you have filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you're available to be on the air. We will select callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like for you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first client of the evening. And our first client is calling in from Philadelphia from area code 267. And this is Tahira, who's calling back into us. Tahira, are you there, Carla?
Oh, yes, I am, Miss Tammy Lee. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for asking, ma'am. And thank you so much for being a loyal listener to our show. We appreciate that so much. I'm just going to go ahead and let our host know and and our special guests from AIR know that you're calling back into us and that you were back here on the show with us in May. And just give a brief synopsis of your situation for them, okay? And you're right. I'm in the process of dropping out of the second college I'm currently enrolled in. Since 2013, I've had some traumatic issues each spring semester, and that last incident has pushed me to think that this is the school is not for me. I'm looking into three schools, two in America and one abroad, that would be the better fit for me academically for social reasons. Is a new school in my future? And brother, is a new school in my future? And will my career as a writer work out better than where I am currently? I know about my Saturn return in Capricorn in 2017, so I hope to be in a good school now that I am more appreciative of getting an education. Turning it back over to you.
Thank you, Ms. Tammy.
Yes, sir.
And Tahira, thank you for trusting us with your situation. It sounds like quite a difficult one. I'm going to ask a couple questions before I turn this over to Deacon Millett and have him do our first reading. First, what sign of the zodiac are you, if you don't mind asking?
I'm a Cancer.
You're a Cancer, okay. It's a quite important question, I would say, because what sign of the zodiac gives us all sorts of insight. For example, Cancers tend to have a harder time recovering from certain traumatic experiences and emotional difficulties. Bouncing back is not their strong suit. They're a little bit more sensitive at home, which is not a bad thing. It just means it takes them a little bit longer, so that's something to bear in mind here. You are interested in creative writing, so you're working on a novel or some type of essay, story?
I'm working as a freelance writer for a local magazine, and I don't know when they're even going to publish my article. I've had so many issues just writing for the student newspaper, and I've just been met with a lot of animosity and resentment from very ignorant people at my school, and I was almost robbed at gunpoint a couple months ago. So that was the last incident that told me, you know what, I just can't deal with this. I can't make any friends. I almost got my life was threatened. I just don't know where I'm supposed to be.
Okay, yeah, I'm quite serious. Let's see what Deacon Millett has to say on this matter and what his cards show us, okay?
Well, I've pulled three cards here for you from the Secret Dakini Oracle deck, which is my preferred way of reading. The first card here is the Scarlet Woman, and this shows a powerful feminine energy. Sometimes it's almost a femme fatale energy. And in a lot of love readings, this winds up being an interloper, somebody who is intruding on the situation and trying to manipulate things in a powerful way, often to your detriment. So it would be useful to see if there's anybody who might be jealous of you, who might be throwing at you and exacerbating things from that point of view. The second card here is Maya, How She Spins. Now, this is a card of delusion, of kind of chaotic confusion, and of deceptions being placed into your mind. So, again, a very uncomfortable card, and it would not at all be crazy to want to run away from a situation where these two cards are present. Happily, the third card is nice. Here we have the last laugh, the future, and this is the card that basically says, you will look back on this time from a distance and it will all seem okay. You are going to move to a much stronger and more powerful future. So things to look forward to anyway. I had a few questions for you in terms of where you are with your education, how far along you are.
Well, technically I'm a super senior. I've been at this second school for about 4 years, but before that I was at another school for a year and a half, but that was not the best move because I went to my first school just to chase a guy, and that still didn't work out. So instead of being bitter, I just came back home and thought I could go to school and move on, but then other things happened, and I'm just drained creatively, mentally, yeah.
Are these four-year programs that you're going on? I'm sorry to jump in.
No, that's the exact same question.
Okay. By all means, take over. I'm sorry.
No. That is exactly my question. Is there, are these four-year, are you working toward a bachelor's degree, and do you, how many hours have you built up toward that?
I have almost over 200 credits total at my current school.
Wow.
I just got distracted. Yeah, I meant to just get in, get some A's and B's, and go study abroad because I really wanted to go abroad to finish school. But then I just got caught up with, oh, I'll just put it off and I'll just be editor-in-chief at a student newspaper. Oh, I'll do this, I'll do that. And I just kept taking classes I didn't need just to work towards things that ultimately didn't even matter.
Right.
And I'm just stuck with no financial aid, no real desire to even finish.
Well, I assume you've sat down with the counselor and gone over what you've got to see if you can, you know, trade your chips in for a piece of paper. You've got, is there some quick finishing this part of your academic career?
Not really, because I'm over my credit limit, I can't even really argue to get the money I need released to my bank account, because now they have new rules and regulations saying that they only want full-time students. So even if you have less than 12 credit hours, you can't really get financial aid.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't have $2,000 to finish.
Lot of credit.
Yeah.
Well, it's a very fragile situation, and I'll turn it over to you guys and pray that we come up with some helpful suggestions for you.
Thank you, Deacon Miller, and I think you really hit the nail on the head when she's discussing some of the credits she's taking and how pursuing some of these courses that were not necessary. That really spoke to what you were talking about when you mentioned Maya, right? The spinning, the chaotic. I think we're definitely picking up on what's going on here. So the good news is that it does end well. Let's see what Professor Porterfield has to say and what he can add with his own reading.
Thank you. Hello, Tahira, darling. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you, Mr. Porterfield?
I'm doing all right. Thank you for asking. Well, before I get into the three cards that I have here, I want to take a moment to discuss another aspect of what you have brought to the table for us today, and that is about writing and freelance writing. And I have some expertise, some knowledge, and some experience in this. And so let me first tell you that right now, not just from what I've heard and not just from what I'm seeing in front of me with my own cards that I'm going to get to here in a moment, I don't think that right now, dropping everything else and running off into the wonderful world of being a professional writer is where you want to go. First of all, freelance writing is pretty much like working for the company store, if you know the old Tennessee Ernie Ford song about that, okay? You know, you load 20 pounds of ore, and what do you get? You know, another day older and deeper in debt. Freelance writing can be a very successful career for certain kinds of people with a certain kind of temperament. And I'm not sure that what I'm hearing from you, and taking into account the Cancerian temperament as well as that Saturn return, that now is the time to get involved in freelance writing, okay?
Yeah.
That sounds pretty much like tying yourself to the whipping post. And I tell you that out of years of experience, having been a published author myself and having done freelance writing as well. Now, that being said, I have to tell you that, fascinatingly enough, I have several cards here in front of me that relate completely to Deacon Millett's reading. I read playing cards, just the kind of cards you would play bridge or poker with, and I have three cards down here for you, and the first card I have down is the Queen of Spades. this is not a very kind woman. This is a cruel woman. She can be very sharp of tongue. She can be very overbearing. She can be very smothering and very, very vicious. And sitting immediately to her right, and that is the position that we have with the outer world here, this is outside influences, is the Two of Spades. And the Two of Spades is the duel. So this relates back immediately to what Deacon Millett told you about this other person, a female, and a possibility of someone doing some kind of work or laying some kind of blocks in your path or having an addition to this troubles that you're experiencing. And that Two of Spades, again, that's a duel, okay? It's not an argument. It's not a kerfuffle. It's a duel. You know, two guys standing in the street like in, you know, an old Wild West, both itching to draw their guns. But what I want to bring to you also about the Queen of Spades is that one of her names is the Cruel Mother. And so I am somewhat interested that you might want to reflect on some familial relationships that you have had, particularly in the past, and potentially some information, some feelings of self-worth and self-accomplishment that come to you from your early upbringing, particularly from female members of your family, either directly that they sort of dumped on you or indirectly that maybe you picked up from watching them as either good or bad examples, and goals, unrealistic goals or harsh judgments that you may be placing against yourself or that a living member may of the family may be trying to place against you. However, just like Deacon Millett, here in my far left-hand position, I have the Ace of Hearts. Such an excellent card. The Ace of Hearts is love conquers all. And so that tells me that in the end, this will all work out. But because it is in the left-hand position, it tells me that this realization, this solution, is not going to come externally. Nobody's going to ride in on a white horse, darling, and say, here, I've got a bag full of $6 million. It's all going to be fine. Okay? The solution is going to come from within. This is going to come from you. And I do not foretell, I merely state that I think that this is definitely going to happen during your Saturn return and that you're going to have a lot of internal realizations about yourself. Saturn returns can be terribly, terribly hard. You know, there's that old saying, if your life's not together by the time you're 30, look out because it's all going to straighten itself out one way or another in your 30th year. And that speaks about a Saturn return. It's not always exactly the 30th year. But I see that there will be a relief to this and that you will find success and self-love and self-acceptance, but it's going to have to come from inside. And I think some of those realizations are going to have to come about your early upbringing. But that being said, you ask a specific question, and I'm not here to try to flim-flam you without giving you a specific answer. There are no clubs in this. I see no travel. I would not look towards going overseas to a foreign educational system or a foreign college. I do not think that's in the cards for you. There is a preponderance of spades. Spades do rule over intellectual pursuits, and I do think that you will be able to continue your learning in a collegiate or university setting here in the United States, and I hope that's been of some help to you.
Thank you, Professor Porterfield. There's only a short bit of time left. So I'm going to speak quite fast on what you can do root work-wise. If I'm going too fast, know that there is an archive, and you can listen back to this show being down. I 100% agree with what Professor Porterfield and what Deacon Millett mentioned. I don't see you going abroad. I do see something going on with the collegiate, and he's absolutely right. All three of us on here are published writers, and we make a living off of our writing. And I can tell you that freelance writing is not doing well right now. And if you're having difficulties with getting published in your school newspaper for whatever personal reasons or whatnot, it's going to be quite hard to make a job of being a freelance writer. You need to first develop those credentials, the backing that's going to be needed that make you stand out as a freelance writer. So what can you do to do that? I want you to do some work for success. Set up an altar, a space that you can work on, something that will have you know, all your magical accoutrements and that you will dedicate your attention to, put on this altar your favorite writers. You can put up your favorite books, you can put up essays, you can put up short pieces, anything that you desire. Writing style that you yourself, when you make a great deal of writing, is about experimenting. Which author's voice do you resonate with? Which style are you going for? And where is your own voice, like finding your own voice? And that comes through a lot of reading, a lot of saying, I really liked how this worked out. I love this turn of phrase. I love this sentence structure. I hate this. Find the ones that work for you. Put that on the altar. Put images of successful authors on there. What you're going to do is you're going to create a jar. And into this jar, I want you to put sugar. I want you to put bay leaves, five-finger grass, deer's tongue. Now, this can be loose in the jar itself with the sugar. That's fine. You don't need to fold it all up. It's going to be a little bit messy. Now, you're going to take the third pentacle of Mercury, which is about eloquence and bringing, you know, success in literary matters. And on the back of it, you're going to write a petition. It can be a letter to God. It can be something directly written from your heart, whatever you want. But you can write it on the back of this, and you're going to anoint this with the Van oil and Crown of Success oil. You're going to fold it up, place it into the jar, and close the jar. Every day, you are going to shake up that jar, every single day. And then you are going to open it up, take your finger, lightly lick it, put it into the sugar, and lick the sugar. And say, as this sugar is sweet to me, so will my words be sweet. They will sway the people who listen to them. It will help me with my writing. Then you are going to set aside time every single day to write, whether you do it. Whether it's journaling, whether it's writing an essay, even if it's not to be published, you need to write every single day. After you've done the sugar, you're going to write. And as you do that, you're going to have a white candle on this altar going that you've dressed with Crown of Success oil. And by light of that, you're going to have that light going. You're going to do your writing. The key is you have to do a little bit every single day. And you're going to build up a bit of a portfolio of writings you have published or that you want to work on. Some of them may be incomplete. Some of them may be works in progress. But you need to always work on it daily. And what you're going to do is those are going to become the skeleton of the projects that you're going to work on. They may lead you towards a novel. They may lead you towards article publications in New York or whatever. But those are going to form the skeleton of the work. But it's dedicated work done daily. It's simple work, but it is very much needed. Also, seek out a counselor. You have to talk to your guidance counselor again. Find out some type of academic route. I wish I could give you suggestions that I'm in academia myself, but you're in a very tight place, and I'm not a guidance counselor. I'm a lecturer, so I can't really give you much there. I know that in most universities, once you reach that limit when it comes to your units, you're really in a bit of a tight spot. But talk to your guidance counselor. There are alternative programs, extension programs, and summer school, and things like that that can help you. That's all the time we have right now. I do apologize for it being quite short. Hopefully you can listen to the archives and get some good suggestions from that. All the best, and thank you for trusting us with your situation. Ms. Tammy Lee, why don't you come on in and lead us to our next caller?
Yes, sir, Conjurman Ali, and y'all, support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of missionary independent spiritual churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next new client. And our next new client is calling in from area code 678 from Atlanta, Georgia. This is Queen. Queen, are you there, caller?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. And I'm going to go
you.
Ahead and just... Yeah, you're very welcome. And just let our host know, once again, this is your first time calling in to the show, and thank you so much, and that you have not yet gone to any of our Members of Air and Queen Wives. I'm a non-initiate that is constantly contacted by the Orisha. I had no knowledge of Orisha trying to me being contacted. I've been approached by initiated people who act as if they know something about me I don't know. Our relationships, the Orisha that have made contact and I, are lovely thus far. I know the spirit world to be vast, to be a vast place, and I just want to be sure that I am only having contact with who is coming to me and not any meddling outsiders. I also want to know where the Orisha are leading me. Turning it back over to you.
Thank you for that, Ms. Tammy Lee. This is a very deep question that you've come to us. Before I get started, if you could tell me, Queen, what is your sign of the zodiac?
A Cancer.
You're a Cancer? I love how that works out. It's always, always the theme of the show always becomes clear, or something lines up in that way. and I can see that your question is also quite Cancerian, because you're kind of wanting to make sure you're safe and that these outside forces are not coming in. Now, your name is Queen, and you also go by Orisha Help, so I'm assuming that you are interested in involvement in one of the Orisha cults. Is either Lukumi or Candomblé, which one of these is it?
Well, it's not one specifically, I would say. It's just been a constant contact, basically everywhere I turn, everywhere I look, everything is related to it. So I just want to be sure.
Okay. Well, here's what I'm going to tell you, and the answer may not be exactly what you wanted to hear, but it's what you need to hear. This is a particular question that is not ideally suited for the radio show and is not ideally suited for three root workers. What you're asking about is, we can talk in very general terms. We're all spiritualists, so we can give you guidance from there. So I'm not saying we're going to reject your question. No. I'm just saying that there are some limitations that Professor Porterfield, myself, and Deacon Millett can only go so far. I'm initiated in the ATR. But it's a very different ATR. It's in the Afro-Brazilian tradition of Kimbanda. So these traditions that you're interested in, the Orisha cult is very specifically an initiatory cult. And that doesn't mean you need to be initiated in order to have contact from the Orisha, as you clearly know. However, if you're going to get involved with them any further, like you're asking, where are the Orisha leading us? I can't answer that. That's something you need to work out with the Orisha themselves, and that's done through one of their initiated priests. That's through one of their chosen speakers. And that's, if it's in Candomblé, you're going to talk to an Olorisha or a Babalo Orisha or a Maya Olorisha. Or if it's in Lukumi, it's a Santero or Santera. But you do have to locate one that you trust, locate someone that you could put your faith into, and ask them to guide you. We can also not tell you which of these spirits are present in your life. That's what they do. They will determine who is your head. Your name is Queen, so I have some suspicions on who it may be. And you yourself may have some suspicions on the ones that are present in you. And it's not just one, but there'll be multiple. But out of those multiple spirits, it'll be one or two that take the lead. And those are the spirits that are most deeply entwined with your destiny, and they bring their ashe into your life. So it is very important that after you get off this call, you contact someone who is initiated in these traditions, and you can go to air, and there are people who are involved. Lou Flores is an example. This Papa Newt mentioned his name in the chat with Lou Flores. And there are also, outside of air, there are air is a predominantly hoodoo directory, while some of us are initiated outside. But there are some that are initiated. So Lou Flores is an example of this. Or you can find someone outside. If you go to the SanteriaChurch.org, it's an older site. I don't know if it's being updated since Dr. E has passed, but it's still a fantastic resource where you can find authentic practitioners and various things. So something to be aware of. and definitely get a reading afterwards. What I can tell you, though, is from a spiritualist perspective, I do see that there is a destiny here. I don't know what that destiny is, and I don't know what that purpose is, but there is a destiny here. You're not being meddled with by a trickster spirit or troublesome spirit that has entered into your life and is trying to cause trouble. They're drawing your attention for a very specific reason. They're very interested in getting your attention, and they want something from you. There is something that is going to be contractual between the two of you, something that they're going to require from you, and in turn they will give something to you. I do see that this is going to be very transformative for you. It is a new stage in your life. How old are you, if you don't mind me asking? Yes, you're
still there. I'm sorry, I don't know what happened. I'm 21.
21. Okay, so you're quite young. Yeah, this is going to bring in a new part of your life. It's going to be different. It's going to be challenging a little bit, I'll be honest with you. It's going to require you to learn a great deal. But I do say that from what I can see, that yes, there is a destiny here. Yes, there is some future here. You're not being meddled with by a trickster spirit. There's some very powerful, positive female Orisha around you. I have a suspicion who it is. You'll find out soon enough once you talk to an initiate. And I do see that it's going to be a good future for you. The only thing I'm going to say is that follow up with an actual priest, and also stick to learning the traditions. It's very, when we're young and we get this type of attention, we get very excited and we go, you know what, I'm going to explore on my own, and we feel that it's a brave new world where we can do anything. The well-worn paths are going to be very, very important for you. It's about keeping you safe. It's about developing that connection further and learning the proper songs, the proper offerings, the proper roots of online and spirits. So that's what I have to say. I'm going to turn this over to Professor Porterfield and see if he has anything further to add.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, Queen. I hope you're doing well. And what I want to say to you first off the bat is everything that Conjure Man Ali just said to you, double, okay? We're really not... You know, we may be the pros from Dover, but this is not our billowack. This is not our rice bowl. You really need to go to an initiated priest. However, I don't want to send you away just with that. And since I cannot specifically answer your question in regards to the Orishas or to its practice or to that initiatory tradition, what I can do is attempt, however, to give you a little insight to yourself right now.
Okay.
And what I have here before me are three cards. I have first the Five of Clubs. Now, the Five of Clubs, all right, talks about a job of work, a wealth of work ahead of someone, and again, that work possibly being magically related or spiritually related. And that is the card that is sitting in predominance over you right now. So I see that as generally a good sign that you should continue to explore this in an appropriate manner as outlined to you by Conjure Man Ali. Now, in the external world, sitting to your right, I have the Ace of Spades. Now, the Ace of Spades is generally thought of as a terrible card. Oh, no, the death card. Accidents, trouble, violence, death. But here, because it is sitting so remotely externally to you, it suggests to me that there is some possible influence in your spiritual life. And again, I am not specifically speaking about Orishas. I am not speaking on that tradition. I am speaking about you and your overall spiritual life at this moment. That says to me that there is some influence here, all right, in your spiritual life that comes from the other side of death, meaning that it comes from someone who has passed on, that it comes from a deceased individual who may have been close to you or have may come to associate to you. This is probably going to be an ancestral spirit. It may be very, very far back, in fact, but I do see that influence there. And then to your left, I have the Seven of Spades. And the Seven of Spades tells me a lot about why you called in for this question. Indeed, not just your Cancerian nature. The Seven of Spades represents bad luck, ill fortune, possible jinx, inauspicious settings. And here in this left-hand position, it tells me that you've kind of had some bumpy roads, particularly with spiritual matters, and that the trepidation, the not fear, but the inquiry that you're making today to make sure that things are correct, to make sure that you're not being led astray, and even that kind of exalted sigh that you let out of relief when Conjure Man Ali said that this is not a trickster spirit influencing you, tells me that you have had some troubles in the past that relate to things like that. And so I would encourage you to continue to be careful. Again, not specifically in regards to Orishas or the initiatory traditions that involve them, but for yourself personally, I would say that you are definitely an individual who could use some spiritual protection in her house and on herself. And I will now turn this over to Deacon Millett, who perhaps might have some advice to that line.
Thank you, Professor Porterfield. And Deacon Millett, let's have you come in and give some root work advice. Because this is a situation that, you know, there's very little we can do, there are some things, though, however, that I think would be quite pertinent. I think protection work is very important. Perhaps some ancestor building is also needed here. Part of any of the ATO traditions, or I should say any of the African diasporic traditions, which include voodoo, is ancestor work. And I think this is going to be quite helpful for both dealing with some of the spiritual troubles that Professor Porterfield noted, as well as developing kind of solid spiritual foundation from which you can move forward. So if you can come in and give us some suggestions and whatever else comes to mind as well, but the ancestor work, protection, or whatever else that you recommend here.
Well, it's interesting because Fiery Wall of Protection products were one of the things that I was going to recommend, certainly. And the other two that came to mind in this situation are Road Opener and Crown of Success. And I feel that those three things, because what I sense is that you just need a little preparing of the way. You need to step forward and find, right now, you need to find the right person who's going to guide you well. And that means that you need the Crown of Success for the smarts to pick the person that's going to connect well. You need an open road forward to, you know, make the choices that you need to make. And you need protection, because we all know that there are spirits out there and there are spiritual people, quote unquote, out there that can indeed cause us harm. So I strongly recommend that you use those three products. And I would either do that via a series of baths or a series of rituals in the morning, where each day you decide, is today a day where I need success? Is today a day where I need the road to open? Or is today a day where I need protection? And yes, you can do all three at the same time, all the time if you want, but Spirit is telling me that you need to start on a path of rumination, of looking and feeling out things in a spiritual way and making decisions. And the nice thing about this decision is you can't go wrong, because I'm not giving, there's nothing dangerous or scary. So whether it's I have to choose one of these three oils to put on to a candle, or one of these three incenses to burn at night, or one of these three baths to take in the morning, it's going to help lead you down the path that you need to find to pursue this more fully. The beautiful thing is I don't sense anything scary here at all. And that is so rare. I talk to so many people who, you know, it's like they're opening these floodgates and they have no idea what they're getting into. And I mm-hmm. sense only a positive experience coming for you. So
I would agree.
Embrace that, you know, and go for it with joy and gusto. And you're about to start an incredible chapter in your life. So do it with protection and with success and with open roads before you.
I would also like to add that I have a very, very strong sensation, and so I apologize for interjecting myself here, but I have a very strong sensation that tells me to pass on to you, Queen, that you may also want to incorporate the use of camphor. And so you might want to have some camphor that you place into the corners of your room or that you use in addition to what the fantastic advice that Deacon Millett already gave you.
Those are fantastic decisions. I really love the combination that Deacon Millett provided because I think it's exactly what you need in the situation. You just need the push. You just need a little bit of protection. It's something right there. I think that's great. I would add that if you are really interested in developing a spiritual gift, if you're pursuing this path, meeting with the ancestors is going to be a start. It's something that you're going to have to do no matter which tradition of the ETRs you get involved in. All of them have a deep connection to ancestral work, and it's the commonality they all share. They can start off with something very light. What you can do is you can dedicate a space to them. You don't have to even put up photos or anything, but offer a fresh cup of water and a white candle and just sit there, meditate and pray. I offer this to the helpful ancestors of my past so they may be present in my life and guide me to my future, right? A simple prayer, and then just meditate and see if you can listen. Listen to them speak to you. Listen to them guide you. And ask them to enter in your life and help open the way to whatever your destiny is. The next thing I would add is a simple finder kind of working. So, you know, find me the right person. And what you do is you take one white candle and one orange candle, and you set it up between, or around, I should say, an empty picture frame. In that picture frame, you're going to write a petition, a small piece of paper, and you're going to write, my future teacher, my ideal initiator, whatever it is that describes this person that is for you, your teacher, your guide, right? You're going to write that and put that in the picture frame. The white candle, you are going to dress with attraction oil. The orange candle, you are going to dress with road opening oil. You're going to light this candle and pray over this candle and the picture frame. You're going to do that once a week. I would recommend doing that on a Sunday and doing the ancestral work on a Monday. So do it once a week. You know, back to back, Sunday do one working, Monday do the other working. And that's a good addition to get you moving forward. We are at the end of our segment. I do thank you for your trust in coming to us with your situation and allowing us to read for you. And I wish you all the best. You do have a very bright future with beautiful, beautiful things ahead of you. Don't be afraid. Go forth with some courage. All the best, now, my dear.
Thank you all so much.
Of course. And then we're going to have a short announcement, and then Ms. Tammy Lee.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, hosted by Catherine Ironwood and Conjure Manali, Sunday, 3 to 4:30, Candela's Corner, starring Candela Cambisa, Monday, 5 to 7, Crystal Silence League Hour, hosted by John St. Germain, Tuesday, 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesday, 6 to 7, Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Wednesday, 5 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursday, 6 to 7:30, and On Sacred Ground with Kai Armand, Saturdays, noon to 3, all time specific, at 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
And y'all know it's time for our free spells section of the show, and Professor Porterfield is going to go ahead and bring that to us. Professor Porterfield.
Thank you, Miss Tammy Lee. Well, before I get into the free spell, I want to say that it's not quite sunset yet, but I want to express and wish Lashana Tov a good new year. To Conjure Man Ali, to Deacon Millett, to all our guests, all our crew, and all of those of you in the chat, may you have a wonderful new year. Today, I'm going to be bringing you a spell. It's a little bit complex, and if you can't follow along with it and you want to find it, wow, I couldn't quite keep track of that. You can find this spell on page 90 of a deck of spells, Hoodoo Playing Card Magic in Rootwork and Conjure. And this spell was shared with me by our own dear, lovely, the vamp with the most, our own Madam Nadia of MadamNadia.com. And it is how to use a deck of cards, because you all know I love those cards, to help locate a missing person. That's right, I'm going to show you how to do divining, just like we talked about earlier, dowsing with a deck of cards. So to do this, first you're going to take a deck of cards and you're going to pick a significator for the person that you are looking for, a missing person. Who is this person? If it is a man that you are looking for, you are going to pick out the King of Hearts. If it is a woman, you're going to pick out the Queen of Hearts. If it is a child or younger person, you're going to pick out the Jack of Hearts. While holding the card, you are going to recite over it Luke 8:17. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Then you're going to insert the card back into the deck and take out the four aces and give the deck a good shuffle. Now, lay out a map. If you think the person is in a certain city, get a map of that city. If you believe them to be in a certain state or country, get a map of that region. If you have no clue where that person is, get a map of the world. Deal the four aces onto the map. Ace of spades to the north, ace of clubs to the east, ace of diamonds to the south, and ace of hearts to the west. Then you're going to take a footed brazier or a dish, any kind of thing that you can safely burn charcoal in. You're going to light charcoal in this dish and place it in the center of the map. And onto that charcoal, you are going to burn a pinch of tobacco. Now, from the top of the deck, deal the cards onto the aces, one at a time, clockwise. Keep dealing until you find the significator that you have assigned for the person, King of Hearts, Queen of Hearts, or Jack of Hearts. Once the area has been determined, you can repeat the spell with a map of smaller areas, moving from, say, a country map to a state map to a city map, etc. Finally, take another pinch of tobacco, pray over it to bring the missing person home or to you, and drop it onto the burning charcoal. And when it starts smoking, blow gently to manipulate the smoke into the direction of where the significator card landed. And so there you have it, my friends, a way to engage in dowsing with a deck of cards to find a missing person. And thank you, Madam Nadia, for bringing it to us all.
That was a fantastic looking, and had definitely had Madam Nadia's flair all over it. I love how it combined playing cards and smoke and charcoal, a variety of different ways to douse and divine and to locate. That is great. I wish she was in the chat room. I'd love to ask her some questions about where she, how she developed this and how she came to it. And you said this is to find a missing person, but could this feasibly be done using other cards, perhaps, to locate missing items?
Yes, it could be used in that manner, but then what you're going to need to do is you're going to need to associate a court card to the particular kind of item. So in other words, if we're looking for money, and we're looking for a large sum of money, you're going to want to use the King of Diamonds. If we're looking for not quite as much money, you're going to want to use the Queen, and then a lesser amount, you're going to want to use the Jack. And this could even be then done to say, I need to find work. Where do I need to look in my city? Where's a better place for me to start hunting for work? You're going to use your city map, and you're going to use King of Clubs, Queen of Clubs, or Jack of Clubs.
That is fantastic. Thank you for that, Professor. This is a wonderful, wonderful looking. Before we wrap up, we do have a couple minutes. I want to invite you to speak just a little bit. You wish the Happy New Year. And I wanted you to speak just a little bit about what that means and what type of traditions or practices that is involved with, because after all, we are a very spiritual radio show, and the Jewish tradition is actually a very important part of Hoodoo. So I think it's a great opportunity for some education.
Well, thank you very much. I would be happy to. At sunset tonight, after the sun goes down and when we first see the first three stars in the heavens, it will be the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, which is the head of the year, and it is the beginning of the Jewish New Year. It is a time of contemplation of the last year and preparation for the new year, as well as a time in which Jews examine their personal behavior over the last year and what they wish to change about it, how they wish to be better people in preparation for very few days later, this weekend Thursday, in fact, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And on Rosh Hashanah, we gather together. We have a tradition that we have a round challah rather than a long challah to symbolize the circle of the year, and it also normally has sweets added to it, dates or raisins, and we often, many Jews during Shabbos will dip bread into salt, which is to remind you not only of the troubles of life, but also of the richness of the earth and of the mineral of life, if you will. But on Rosh Hashanah, we dip our bread into honey to remind us of the sweetness of life, and then we will also add apples to that. And so this is the day that a lot of Jewish children are very happy because they get to dip apples into honey and eat it.
Yeah. it's one of my favorite bits, the apples and honey. I do thank you for sharing that with us. I think it's very important for us to learn about these traditions that are not often seen in the wider mainstream American public, but are featured quite prominently at the root of what we do, which is Hoodoo and spiritual practice. So thank you for that, Deacon Millett, and thank you for that wonderful spell. Let's have Miss Tammy Lee take us out.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Conjurman Ali and Deacon Millett of FourAltars.org in Joshua Tree, California, for being our special guest host this week for our very own Miss Cat. And thank you, Professor Porterfield of ProfessorPorterfield.com in Denton, Texas, for being our special guest member from air this week. And y'all, we invite you to tune in next week when we will have Susan Barnes of SusanBarnesAuthor.com as our special guest member from the Association of Independent Breeders and Root Workers. And once again, y'all, we've come to the end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Fruit Work Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Portsmouth, California. You can find Miss Cat by the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and Conjurman Ali at conjurmanali.com and Mission Viejo. I'm your announcer, Miss Tammy Lee, joining you from TroubleConConjure.com in Pensacola, Florida. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available on archive by luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to thank you so much for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at this same time when you will hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jugman playing the jug band waltz. Thanks, everybody. Be blessed and have a wonderful, safe week. Good night.
Thank you, Ms. Tammy Lee. I've got to give you mad credit for that record timing ending. That was fantastic.
thank you.
And quite flawless. A special thank you to Deacon Millett, who stepped in for Ms. Cat. We love having you on, Deacon Millett. You are definitely one of my favorite people in the world. So it's
oh,
it
yeah.
was a as much as I miss Miss Cat, it was definitely a treat to read alongside with you. And of course, thank you to Professor Porterfield for being our guest. As always, a great and fantastic topic. Thank you, everyone, and have a fantastic week.
Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night, all.